But two links, we've got Preston and Furious twice. That's strange, isn't it? Stuart Hall's got Preston Court and Furious. Got Lee, then we've got Preston. Yeah.
The men in the dock, facing a variety of charges, a packed courtroom number one, a media annex on a video link as we gathered for the prosecution opening speech. Well, he sat at the end of the... Hello, yes, I can. Microphone sounds muffled.
Oh, it's dropped. Hold on. I've got it. It's not windy though, is it? So I'll just lift it up a bit
like that. I'm going to speak like that and say, well, more than 100 officers are involved in the security operation around this trial. That's better, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, he sat at the... he sat at the end of the front row. He was slumped in his chair, sometimes folding his arms. Sorry? Yeah. Hi, Emma, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to say, well, more than 100 officers are involved in the security operation here.
But top, I can hear him now. Hello, Emma, I can. My lovely new bit of plastic. Sorry, yes, I'll talk a normal level. It's less than 5 months since Michael Gove announced a revolution for the school system. A completely new... Who's that? Gabby! Oh, yes, yes, no, that's right, because she said... Oh, lovely. Timetable was set. From 2015, a completely new type of qualification to replace GCSEs in core subjects like maths and English.
Against him, a cruel. So today, after a court appearance, accompanied by his use to David Cameron doing things differently here, not only...
Welcome to 5 News. I am Courtney. Coming up on 5 News... Protesting his innocence, Stuart Hall vows to fight sex offence charges against him. David Cameron faces his European colleagues for the first time since he committed to a referendum. And pretend it like Beckham, how David's got a bit of help with this new advert. All that and more after a short break. Okay. On 5 News, accused of murdering two unarmed police officers, the trial of Dale Creedon begins. PC's Nicholas Hughes and Fiona Bone died at a house in Greater Manchester last September. The court heard that Creedon made a bogus call to the police and lay in wait with a gun. It claimed he then shot the officers repeatedly before throwing a grenade. Also, Chris Hume's ex-wife tells the court he forced her to have an abortion as recordings of their phone conversations are released.
Why would I tell anyone about me taking your point?
Well, all I suggest is not in anybody's interest that you should tell nonsense to the papers.
GCSE U-turn. The EVAC is scrapped as the government is accused of a humiliating climb-down. Broadcaster Stuart Hall says he considered committing suicide over accusations of rape and indecent assault.
The last 2 months of my life have been a living nightmare.
And? Beck says body double why his new advert isn't quite all that it seems. Welcome to 5 News, I'm Emma Crosby. A court has been hearing dramatic claims that a gunman lured two policewomen to a house before shooting them repeatedly and throwing a grenade at them. Amid heavy security at Preston Crown Court, 29-year-old Dale Creedon was accused of murdering PC's Fiona Bone and Nicola Hughes in Greater Manchester last September. Prosecutors told the jury how he had been on the run after killing two men earlier in the year. They say he trapped the two officers by reporting a serious burglary. His name is at Preston Crown Court for us. Peter, what happened in court?
Yeah, hi, Emma. Well, more than 100 officers are involved in the security operation surrounding this trial from Lancashire Police and Greater Manchester Police. Dale Creedon and 9 other men in the dock here facing a variety of charges, a packed courtroom number one and a separate media annex as well on a video link as we all gathered for the start of the prosecution opening speech.
Taking their place for the start of this trial, Fiona's parents, her partner, her...
Hello, Rebecca, it's MCR. Can you hear us?
And as the final...
Hi, Rebecca, it's Emma. Are you hearing programme?
Lovely, I'll pass you over.
To the jury. The court was told that on the 18th of September last year, Police Constable Fiona Bone and her colleague, PC Nicola Hughes, were killed in a gun and grenade attack. by Dale Cregan. The jury heard he'd been on the run, wanted over earlier killings. His picture circulated.
Hi, Rebecca, it's Emma. Are you hearing her?
There was high security at court.
Great, thanks, Rebecca.
Cregan is on trial with 9 other men who are charged in connection with events leading up to the police killings.
Hi, Rebecca, it's Laura.
Were stationed around the building.
And hello, well done for making it. So your question is, what more did Vicky Price say?
The jury were told about the security operation here, which
do you have any throw words?
King area and the barriers outside the front of the building, but they were told.
Thank you.
Rebecca, hi, it's Sally Pietang. Just to let you know, you've got 20 seconds to get into your package.
Described the death of the two police officers.
Okay, great.
The state near Manchester and the allegations against Dale Cregan, saying he called in a spurious burglary, luring 2 unarmed police officers to investigate. He lay in wait with a Glock firearm with an extended magazine that was fully loaded. PC Fiona Bone and PC Nicola Hughes attended. As soon as they arrived, Cregan shot the officers repeatedly until his magazine was empty. As he left the scene, he threw a grenade towards his victims. This trial also focuses on a shooting last May at the Cotton Tree pub in Manchester, which claimed the life of Mark Short, and the later killing of his father, David Short, in which a grenade was thrown. Dale Cregan is one of a number of defendants charged over those deaths. The court also saw CCTV footage of an alleged grenade attack on a property immediately after David Short's killing. The judge told the jury all these events had attracted a great deal of attention, but they should focus only on what they hear in court.
And Peter, was there any reaction from Dale Cregan in court?
Well, he sat at the one end of the front row of the dock with his co-defendants alongside him and sitting behind him.
30 seconds to you, Rebecca.
Back, slightly slumped down in his chair and folding his arms as he listened carefully to the prosecution's speech as they outlined the allegations against him and the other people on trial here. Now, that speech hasn't finished yet. It will continue tomorrow before we can get towards any evidence or witnesses. The trial itself is expected to last for around 12 weeks.
Lisa, thank you very much. The wife of former Cabinet Minister Chris Hughne has broken by. She told how he forced her to have an abortion, giving evidence at her trial for perverting the course of justice. Vicky Price says she wanted to keep the baby, but he told her it would be bad for his career. Recordings of dramatic phone calls between the couple have also been released. Let's speak to Rebecca Barry, who's been at Southwark Crown Court for us today. And what more does she say, Rebecca?
A dedicated mother pressurized by a ferociously ambitious husband, or a scorned ex-wife determined to ruin his political career. That's what the jury must decide. In court today, Vicky Price revealed the most intimate details of her marriage to the former minister, Chris Hughne. She said in 1990 she'd accidentally fallen pregnant, but he absolutely resisted it, saying it was bad timing, bad financially, bad for his career to be tied down again. And despite my protestations, he got me to have an abortion, which I've regretted ever since. She also described the moment she signed the form, accepting his penalty points for speeding. She said Chris Hughne was standing with a pen in his hand, saying, "You've absolutely got to sign it." She said she had no choice. It was fait accompli. The journalist who first exposed the story told the court Vicky Price was a broken woman after their separation, constantly on the verge of tears. It was then she made this recording in an attempt to get her husband to admit what he'd done.
Why would I tell anyone about me taking your point? It's not in my interest. Are you a moron?
Well, all I suggest is not in anybody's interest that you should tell nonsense to the papers.
Excuse me. What is nonsense? They're out there, and I might go and tell them nonsense. Can you explain to me what you mean by nonsense? You know full well I took your point.
Vicky Price denies perverting the course of justice, saying she was coerced by her husband. He's already admitted the charge and resigned as an MP. Her trial continues. Rebecca Barry, 5 News.
The government has been forced into making yet another embarrassing U-turn, this time over its flagship policy on exams for 16-year-olds. The Education Secretary Michael Gove had wanted to scrap GCSEs in some subjects and replace them with an English baccalaureate, but after a backlash from MPs and teachers, as well as legal concerns, the plan has been scrapped. Well, Catherine Jones is in Westminster tonight, and another government backtrack, Catherine.
Indeed, less than 5 months after Michael Gove announced a revolution for our school system, a completely new qualification to be brought in at breakneck speed, he's now had to say Not only that he can't hand his work in on time, but he's having to abandon the whole project altogether.
The timetable was set from 2015, a completely new type of qualification to replace GCSEs in core subjects like maths and English. Michael Gove had worked hard on his English baccalaureate certificate proposal, but today the Education Secretary was forced to accept failure, a U grade for achievement, and a U turn in the House of Commons.
One of the proposals that I put forward was a bridge too far. My idea that we end the competition between exam boards to offer GCSEs and core academic qualifications and have just one, solely new exam in each subject, was one reform too many at this time.
It's a huge relief for head teachers like David Shepherd, who says rushing in a new exam system would have been disastrous.
I think young people themselves have been bewildered by pronouncements that say that the qualifications that they're currently doing aren't good enough, and I think that has caused them a real problem. And I'm very pleased to have that clarified.
There will be no new English baccalaureate certificates or EBCs then, which also scupper government plans to make only one exam board set exams in one subject. But Michael Gove is still committed to revamping GCSEs, so there'll be no more short modules, only exams at the end, and there'll be more depth. For example, using essays instead of shorter questions. Labour says the government's education policy is a shambles.
Under this government, the words GCSE and fiasco seem to be linked indelibly. This is a humiliating climb down. The trouble with this Secretary of State is that he thinks he knows the answer to everything. So he digs out the fag packet and comes up with his latest wheeze.
Those who study politics may label this a humiliating climb down, but the universal welcome today's announcement has received suggests history will judge this as a day the right decision was made for schools and those who teach and learn in them.
So, Catherine, why exactly has Michael Gove changed his mind?
Well, very publicly, right from the start, the Liberal Democrats were unhappy that this would be a return to a two-tier system similar to O-levels and CSEs. So that, I'm sure, played a part. But also it does seem that the government has genuinely listened to that barrage of criticism. In particular, the concerns of Ofqual, the exam regulator, who was very worried about the speed at which this would happen. And also a legal problem because it might have been challengeable in European courts that exam boards were having to bid to be the sole provider for one exam. It seems that that problem in particular may have been the final one that meant this policy was never going to make the grade.
Okay, Cathy, thanks very much. Coming up on 5 News. Protesting his innocence, Stuart Hall vows to fight sex offence charges against him. David Cameron faces his European colleagues for the first time since he committed to a referendum. And pretend it like Beckham, how David's got a bit of help with this new advert. All that and plenty more after this short break. Meanwhile.
Hi, Laura.
Welcome back. You're watching 5 News and a reminder of our top story tonight. A court has been told how a gunman lured two female police officers to a house before shooting them both dead. Dale Cregan is accused of murdering PC's Nicola Hughes and Fiona Bones in Greater Manchester last week. The TV and radio presenter Stuart Hall says he's going through a living nightmare after being charged with rape and indecent assault. As he made a court appearance in Preston, the 83-year-old said he'd even contemplated taking his own life. And he vowed to fight allegations which he called callous and serious. Stephen Drucker reports.
Stuart Hall says the sexual assault allegations against him are cruel. So today, after a court appearance, accompanied by his lawyer, he spoke of the extreme stress he says he's been put under.
I'm wondering why it's taken 30 and 40 years for the allegations to surface. The last 2 months of my life have been a living nightmare. I've never gone through so much stress in my life, and I'm finding it difficult to sustain. Fortunately, I have a very loving family, and they're very supportive, and I think but for their love, I might have been constrained to take my own life.
The broadcaster was once one of TV's biggest names, hosting It's a Knockout.
Oh, my word, it was...
More recently, he's been a BBC football commentator, a role from which he was suspended when he was charged last December. Between 1967 and 1986, it's alleged Stuart Hall indecently assaulted 10 girls, aged between 9 and 16 years old. He's also facing a charge of rape, set to date back to 1976, involving a 22-year-old woman. He denies all the charges.
I was a healthy 83-year-old, but I'm now incubating a heart complaint, and I'll be very lucky to survive another couple of years. But I hope to survive those 2 years and regain my honour, my reputation, and more than ever, my life. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you.
Stuart Hall says he'll keep fighting all the charges against him. His trial is due to start in April. Julia Drucker, 5 News.
Nearly a third of H&MV stores are facing closure in the next 2 months. Administrators say they're planning to shut 66 of the chain's 220 shops, put 930 staff out of work. The entertainment chain went into administration 3 weeks ago after facing tough competition from online retailers.
Stand by, Andy, you're next.
David Cameron has begun his latest battle to cut Britain's contribution to the EU budget. The Prime Minister has flown to Brussels for 2 days of crucial talks with other European leaders, and like the failed negotiations at the end of last year, he's expecting anything other than an easy ride. His editor Andy Dowell is in Brussels for us, and David Cameron won't be expected to be the most popular figure there, will he?
I think that's right, Emma. This is the first time he's met his counterpart since he said he was going to give the British people a vote on whether they want to stay in this particular club. Now, they are not discussing that here. Instead, they're having a good old-fashioned EU budget row. David Cameron is in the middle of that, but he's not on his own.
They're getting used to David Cameron doing
1.5 on your package, Andy.
Thanks to promise a
remedy. You've got a minute out the back. Do you want 10 from me at the end?
To walk into the summit.
Okay, great.
Point about EU spending.
Well, look, what we're talking about here is what the European Union is allowed to spend over the next 7 years. And frankly, the European Union should not be immune from the sorts of pressures that we've had to reduce spending, find efficiencies, and make sure that we spend money wisely that we're all having to do right across Europe. Now, when we were last here in November, the numbers that were put forward were much too high. They need to come down, and if they don't come down, there won't be a deal.
The European Commission originally wanted a budget of around 1 trillion euros, that's about 870 billion pounds, to cover the next 7 years. Britain says that's too much and has the support of countries like Holland, Sweden, and significantly Germany. France is leading the camp which says the EU should spend to stimulate growth. It's supported by Italy, Spain, and Eastern European countries like Poland. Last night, President...
30 seconds, obviously, 30 seconds.
...thought of Germany met as their countries played a football match. These two are normally on the...
20 seconds, obviously.
But on the budget, it has not been all...
15.
...too much spending. By the way, the Germans...
Counting out of BT, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5.
He may be the odd man out on the EU budget. He has friends.
So what happens with the budget now, Andy?
Well, there's been a very significant meeting this afternoon. David Cameron, President Hollande of France, Chancellor Merkel of Germany, and the President of the European Council, clearly trying to thrash out the framework of a deal involving the big players. What happens now is the European Council basically comes back with the numbers for a budget, which they then give to the other members, and they try and see if they can actually sign off on a European budget deal. Now, the British are cautious, but one member of David Cameron's team said they felt things were moving their way. Now, if there is a budget deal done, which involves some sort of freeze or cut in the European budget, Britain will be pleased. Other countries that wanted more spending will not be, and no doubt may blame Britain as the bad European. They may even be tempted to say, why are we giving the British so much clout in this budget negotiation?
10 seconds. Andy, thank you very much. The government has promised to start work on 93 new flood defences in England this year. It says the move will provide better protection for 64,000 homes. The Environment Department is spending nearly £300 million on managing flood risk this year alone. The number of babies born in England and Wales has shot up in the last decade. According to new figures, between 2001 and 2011, birth rates increased by 22% to over 720,000. The number of multiple births has also gone up. It's thought it partly due to improving fertility. Now, it's the case of Bex and the Body Double. He may be a bit of a show-off when it comes to getting his kick off, but in the new underwear advert for H&M, it's emerged that David Beckham used a stand-in for some of the shots. Forensic fans made the discovery when they realised that his telltale tattoos had here. So what's behind your mini tattoos? It's the new underwear ad, which must make most men feel bad. But it seems it's not all Bex's own work. We've learned that he did in fact use a body double for certain scenes. If we rewind the ad directed by Guy Ritchie, this is the moment Bex's double got busted.
Here you can see this man doesn't have a tattoo on his upper arm. But if you look here, the real Bex does. Surely of all people, David doesn't need a double. But experts say using doubles in ads is common practice.
It would be sort of a pointless waste of their body injuring themselves filming an advert. They're very good in adverts, but maybe it isn't worth the rest of their career in hospital.
Yes, it seems everyone's doing it. Some more obviously than others. Meet Andy Harmer. He makes a living looking like Beck. But actually, he's defended David using a double.
He used a body double mainly for setting up the lighting, maybe little cutaways, little shots that don't necessarily need him to be there. To save on his time, obviously he's a very busy man.
It seems behind every great man is a great body double. Minnie Stevenson, 5 minutes.
Well, that's all for now, but I'll be back at 6:30. There's plenty more of today's news for you, including the next Bank of England boss defends his £800,000 a year salary. So, is he worth it? Also, the solar superstorm that experts say could cause power cuts and take out satellites. I'll be discussing that. And also the asteroid that could be heading Earth's way. And we'll hear from one of Hollywood's biggest stars, Bruce Willis, who will be speaking to us at the premiere of the new Die Hard movie. That's all coming up in an hour's time. Don't forget, you can have your say on all those stories. Our address is at 5_News. Charles got the weather next, and I'm back at 6:30. We'll see you then. Thanks for watching. Bye-bye.
Bedford Carpet Right. Whatever the weather. Channel 5 Weather is sponsored by Carpet Right Beds.
Hi, I'm Sean Welby. Thank you to Hina Dedev for sending in today's photo of a family of mini snowmen. Keep on tweeting those pictures in at 5_News. Here's where to send them. Now this evening, it's feeling pretty chilly, especially in the east, where we're holding on to that fairly stiff northerly breeze. In the west, it's still got rain falling asleep and snow over higher ground. Now, overnight, we are expecting a widespread frost to develop under the clear skies in the east. In the west, where we've got these wintry showers falling onto frozen ground, we could have some issues with ice on the road, so do take care tomorrow morning. It will be a chilly old start to the day tomorrow, but the afternoon should be largely dry and fairly bright as well.
Bedford Carpet Right. Whatever the weather. Channel 5 Weather is sponsored by Carpet Right Beds.